As we look into the next area, well, these are areas which I think are very, very absolutely important to work on. Okay, and I want to encourage you not to assume knowledge or certainty of anything at all, the next few areas that we are going to work with. The next part of it has to do with what we call our faith in God. Now, we assume that we all have faith because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. That being said, it is true with reference to salvation, but it does not make you a spiritual leader. Okay, so I'm going to sharpen the understanding for you with reference to spiritual leadership by looking at a number of things. Five things I think are very, very important to work with. I'm just reducing it into things like that. Now, if you have ever had a stage in your life where you say, you know, my faith level was one where I wanted to serve the Lord, I wanted to benchmark it somewhere. When we say my benchmark, always benchmark your faith level somewhere. Now, I think that we all need to look at a benchmark and then raise the level from time to time. Okay? So, if you want to talk about how that benchmark is, say, when you were younger and you had a zeal that came from faith in God, benchmark it. Don't lose it. Always return to it. Regain it. This is how you do benchmarking with faith. I'm just looking at some practical things for you so that we're not talking about something airy-fairy, something that is generality, but in reality, this is what we're looking at. Have you ever benchmarked your faith? Okay, so this is important. So I benchmark it at several stages in my life. So this is what I was. Well, then I benchmark it again when I look at major milestones in the development of serving the Lord. Okay? When we actually began ministry, this is what I believed in, committed to. And then looking into the, just for we all for easier reference, benchmark it when we started a new ministry. It had to be different from the ministry that we have in Bethany 1. My speaking style changed. Okay, the focus on the Word of God did not. The planning of messages changed. It was no longer week by week thing. It was now for all the other people who are speaking at teens, speaking at children's worship, it was different. I had to redo a lot of these things. That area was a huge thing. Changed. And it would require the other things, you know, raising the level with reference to ministries like Christmas and Easter, you know, all these major programs changed. See, so I wanted to regain, I benchmarked faith first. Return to it, regain it, make sure that the things that I associate with my faith would remain intact. This is called benchmarking faith. It's a new concept to many of you, but it's a very practical, useful tool to work with. Otherwise, we will always be speaking in terms of general vague ideas. I have faith in God. We must all have faith in God. Whatever that means. And very often it means nothing. This was going to be a new phase of life. Okay, I've given you a calling. This is what I want you to do. Now, it's going to be a very, very major thing. Right? So it's called benchmarking, and it's where you must, from time to time, regain. That that perspective. Now, a lot of things happen in our life. And our faith is not as steady or as strong or as vibrant after time has passed. And so you need to look at the next word, and that next word is, how do you get further revived, renewed? It's so easy to have a lackluster faith. So easy to say, well, you know, I've been there and done that. And you need to look at it very, very carefully. And you need that revival, the renewal again and again and again. Okay, so you need to benchmark it, and you want to look at how can I keep this up? How can I renew this? These are your goals. I'm not telling you how to do it, but you've got to find ways and means. But you must think about how you can renew and revive this faith. Now, after having said that, you need to ask yourself, how can I restore it? The restoration process is not an easy process. There are many things to be done, because once it's broken down, you have to rebuild all over again. And it is not easy. It's brick upon brick and rebuilding and restoration. Anybody who has done restoration will understand the difficulties and the challenges which are there. But there we go. Okay? Now, that's only the reclamation part of it. If this process is correct, then there must be a new direction. It's called redirected faith. You see, many people say, well, okay, now I have a great sense of revival in my heart. I want to do something. Not enough. You must have a redirected faith. And if this redirected faith is not there, well, listen, it's not going to go very far at all. And this is something you want to consider very carefully. And I will be talking about live prayer ministry later on, but there must be a redirection. Does that make sense to you? It's something you really want to consider, you want to work at, you want to say, well, I want to be able to do this. This is my faith in God, and I want to. It's a really one. And then, of course, you must review. Remember, we go back to the principle of review. You want to, now, half a year later, am I really in the right direction? Or have I lost? Am I lost again? Am I mired? Am I caught in a maze? Okay, it's very, very important for us to look at it very carefully. Maybe we begin with reading comics. Then we move on to Reader's Digest. And that's all you ever read. And you only partake of food for children. You don't know how to grapple with hard things. See, this is the challenge. The question is, how do you go deeper? How do you go stronger on some of these things here? And that would be something we want to look at. So that's the principle of faith in God. I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. Okay, I want to cover a lot of these things first, then I want to go back to it in detail, if you don't mind. So that at least, otherwise, 1 hour is not, and a half hour is not going to enable me to finish this, everything I want to say today. But I must place here on record that faith is something that very few people know how to apply today. And yet it is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Where is the substance? So Samuel was asking me a question just now. Why did Paul say hope of his calling? Because there are many things of our calling which God has given to us. You'll be surprised how great is that calling. But it's always in a realm of hope because it's not yet realized. Are we capable of thinking like the Apostle Paul? Yes, but it remains in the realm of hope. Are we capable of really featuring ourselves, becoming significant servants of God? Yes, in a realm of hope. Because if we do not apply our faith, it will always be only with reference to being hopeful. I began the same way. As a youngster, involved in young people's group, involved in young people's activity, playing badminton as a simple game of people who don't have money to join clubs. That was it. But it wasn't there. I started serving a young people's group as, they call it the sports convener. I was a sports convener. Okay, there we go. I went on to do prayer evangelism. Went on to lead a whole group. Went on to lead a Sunday school. You know, there were many lessons to learn along the way. One after the other. Went on to become a pastor. Went on to become a Bible school teacher. Went on to establish seminary work. Went on to plant churches. Went on to write books. I keep on adding new things because I know what it means to just stay where I am. I will die where I am. I cannot. Do not allow myself to go that way. So every year I add on stuff. The internet has become a completely whole ministry by itself. There's no other way. And more. And I think this is really, really, really challenging. And I hope that you will seriously look at the challenge of your faith and of your life. But the key word is my faith. Can my faith meet up with these challenges? Can my faith show up with time? Can my faith take on whatever I need to take on and say, be strong along the way? Can my faith measure up? As you grow older, can your faith measure up as you face illness? There we go. That's faith. You cannot have a faith of a young person with zeal and nothing else for the challenges of life that keep on changing, gets more and more challenging and more complex with every year. Nothing stays still in my life and ministry. There is no placid idea. You either find the faith to cope, or you will never be able to cope. So my knowledge of God must translate into faith. See how we must move on? With my knowledge of God, and I cannot translate into faith, what do I have? Nothing much. Guess what? After this weekend of heavy teaching, I go over to Perth to teach. What makes me go on? Faith. That's important. It's really, really, really challenging to look at. Okay? The faith personal is tested all the time. Faith in service also stretched all the time. But I would rather do this. So if I am speaking of faith, my faith says, this is the hope of my calling. You know, I like to be able to speak better. Lord, help me speak better. I like to be able to be even more organized in my time. Okay, Lord, help me to do that. And my faith is applied. This year, my challenge, of course, was to look at, because I come to a certain age, I am bordering on the issue of, I'm classified as pre-diabetic, which is a very general term for whatever, you know, you have a, okay, well, what can I do? Okay, one, can I cut back on all sugary stuff? Done. Not a problem. No dessert. Done. No problem. So what's the problem? Cut back on weight. Done. No problem. I've lost 5 kg. And I plan to keep it off. That's a small thing. Small price to pay to have faith and energy and strength to serve the Lord. That's faith. Is it not? It's not so hard. What's that so hard? Part of cross bearing. Isn't it? That's how it works. I have no problem with that. What about the work that will be done ahead? Oh, fine. Okay, let me do it. I need to do... You see, you do not realize that. Well, you all are looking at the youth conference coming up. My message is already done. I need to go beyond that. I need to look at January, February, March, April. I cannot just do this work here and now. 2011 must begin. And again here, I'm so conscious, time. You know, many people look forward to the new year. I do too. But I also, in my mind, count the days. 2011, one more year to live. 2012, praying for strength. 2013, every year is going to be very, very challenging. You must never be afraid. Your faith must take you to say, yes, I'm going to do this. That's faith level. I hope you understand what I'm trying to get at. See, because if my knowledge is all here, and then I don't know how to translate all that knowledge into faith, and I cannot pass it on, it profits me nothing. So I need to find that faith that will be able to take on anything, whatever. Okay, so I need to find that faith level. So you must think about it. So I review this. Now, any questions you want to ask along the way, you just raise up your hand and just raise, okay? If not, I will move on to the next part of it.
Pastor,
and that is...
Pastor?
Yeah,
go question. Ahead. It may be that we have a lot of things to develop.
Yes.
In our life.
Yes.
By faith. Mm-hmm. And in the whole list of things to develop in our life by faith.
By means of faith, maybe you have to add that.
By means of faith, asking God to help.
Yes.
How do we determine which are the more important things?
I would move on. I will move on. Which are things here? We want to look at the things that we want to consider. What are the areas of things that I would like you to consider? Is this whole idea of relationship. Now the relationship part of it, now I'm going to be even more specific. Because many people feel that they are wonderful in relationship with God, they talk to God, and you whistle a happy tune. You know? That's not what it is. The best way to define a relationship with God is along these lines. For example, if you say you have a great relationship with God, let me ask you how you are serving God. Because if you have a great relationship with God and you are not His servant, then where is that so-called relationship? You have a non-existent one. See, a lot of people don't measure their relationship on this level. Am I really a servant of God? And I've left it blank here because There's a whole lot of stuff to speak on. One, ask yourself, where are you serving? And ask yourself, how you're serving, where you're serving. I'm involved, it's a maintenance ministry, so we are a custodial ministry. Your eyes, your ears, everywhere will be custodial work because it's your area responsibility given. Right? You want to check. All the time, if I'm custodial, I will check every toilet every time I go. No need once a week. Every day I will do it. If I'm here, I will check. I'm discharging my responsibility, custodial work. I will check paper. I will check dispenser. I will check soap. I'll check brooms. Whatever I need, it goes with the turf. I will work with it. I'm serving the Lord there. I'm serving in the office. I want to improve my speaking voice. Where's Pastor Charlie? I don't know. You just killed my ministry by saying that. You want to improve? How can I help? Office supply. Oh, run out of paper. Tomorrow I'm going to print. Why? Why can't we be on top of all these things here? That's how we improve. That's how we serve. As a servant of God, your relationship with God is not about studying the Bible. It's about relationship with God as a servant. Am I His servant? That's important. And we want to look at all these practical, nitty-gritty details of life. And if you want to talk about being relating to God, if you do not have a place where you are serving the Lord, you must ask yourself, then where is my place? You see, this is what we're looking at. What is ultimate in relationship? This was David's prayer. When he wanted to build this grand thing here, and the Lord says, let me remind you where you are. When you were looking after sheep, I made you king. His reply was, servant, 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 your servant, David, servant, 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 servant. That's what it is. Look into the details. Make sense to you? Can I tell you a little thing I look at in servanthood and see how different it is from the way I would respond from the way you all are? I handle the mic. I'm serving, handle the mic. I would really know who are the ones who will ask questions. I will place the mic there. No need to ask. One, it saves time. Two, it speaks well of the way I understand things. See somebody else asking for the mic far away. I'm serving mic ministry. On the spot, I will go to the person. Rather than, nah. See, that's me. I won't just pass the mic. I will personally give it. Servant. You press the lift. It's going down. Pastor Charlie is going up. I ask you a question. Is it going up and down? You tell me, down. Okay, I walk up the stairs. Servant. Pastor is not young anymore. Where I going up or down is not important. Pastor, what do you want? I go up with you. Servant. It's not in all the young people. You don't know how to be servant. Servant. I'm looking after third floor, second floor, fourth floor. I see the rubbish bin. Every day I check. No need to be told to empty it, to put a new bag. I will do it automatically because I am servant. I have a wonderful made at home. With the passing of time, she knows this is Sunday. I don't wear brown shoes on Sunday. She will arrange my shoes for me. I don't ask her to do this, please. She knows what shoes I will wear on a Sunday. No need to ask. She knows what time I will leave in the morning. She will make sure that she will do her part in getting my car ready. I used to do all this myself. I don't even tell her. Servant. That's what it means. These are little things. Believe me, servanthood is not about being involved in a committee, about serving. No. It's about the little, little details of life that we notice and we, let me help. Let me show the heart and spirit of a servant. This is servanthood. It is finest. Young people, you cultivate this from young. It will stay with you the rest of your life. That's the way I trained myself. That's the way I was brought up. And so if I see a lift, an older person, I will tell the person, now you go right ahead. You take a lift down. I'm going up. I can wait. You can go. It's a small thing. But a small thing will tell you what kind of servant you really are. The little details of servanthood are critically important. Make sense to you? And if it's not there, small things are not there, you will stumble at them. When I serve the older people with food, how I turn the spoon will tell me what kind of person I am, because the older person will tell me, why you serve me like this? They won't say it out. But I see some of you, here you are. And I'm offended. Because you don't even understand these niceties of life. For those of you giving offering back, you come to me and you put one hand offering back to me, you have dishonored me. Because you don't understand the small little things of life. Nah. It's not how you, not just a matter of serving, it's how you serve. Servanthood means I want to learn all the details it takes to be a servant. What does it take? And ask myself again and again, if I were a servant, if I were a man servant, what I would like to be. If I were a butler, I would be very careful. I would do what I need to do. I would learn the ropes. In the years past, there was an old comic strip called Rip Kirby. You never heard of him. But Rip Kirby had a butler. And people would despise him and call him, "Your butler. Wear dress in his white shirt and his bow tie and his black suit." He would say, "Sir, I am a gentleman's gentleman." Wow. A gentleman's gentleman. This is Batman's old servant. He knows his place as a master servant. He takes care of him and loves him as his own son, never forgetting his place. This is servanthood. Not just sitting in committees serving. It's the little details of life. Very few have mastered these little things. Think about this. Okay, move on. Next level. I can wax eloquent on that one. B. As a spiritual leader. Now, the servanthood concept is still prevalent. It must ever remain so. But now you take on a new role where God makes you a spiritual leader. Let me tell you that it is an awesome responsibility. It is a responsibility involving great power. It's a responsibility that will demand courage to face, confronts, challenges, difficulties. And there are skills as well. This is part of spiritual leadership. Do you understand your responsibility? It is not the acquisition of knowledge alone. Responsibility goes beyond mechanical acquisition of knowledge. It is the makeup of the person who is responsible. It's the way in which he performs his task. He will discharge his responsibility, which is to him everything. Responsibility. I'm responsible. I'm responsible. There is no two ways about it. Okay? Wielding the power of God is something else to be learned. I mean, that's something that's really awesome. You know, every time there's a pulpit ministry, there is power. I believe in it, absolutely. We begin a new series of messages on the power of God. Do I believe in it? Absolutely. But I also know that it takes much more than just preparation to wield the power of God in a pulpit. It's really far more demanding than you realize. Every time you teach the Lord's Word, every time you preach the Lord's Word, there is power being exercised. Very few people understand what it is. So when you are a youth conference Bible teacher, you have no idea what power you can exercise and wield even as you teach. Because power is involved there. It is not just Bible study preparation. Think power. Preparation is only a part of it. Again, here it takes courage to do a lot of things. And finally, this part of it is something that I best emphasize. You know, we talk about relationship with God and we talk about significant skills and we don't realize that it's there. They are related. But they are. So we must ask ourselves, how are we understanding this? What skills are involved? Because the way I directly spend time, devote time to cultivate my skills is a reflection of my relationship with God. Do you realize this? It's never skills in itself. It is in relation. Lord, you have given me this. Now let me do this. So I look forward to writing next year, Book of Psalms. And I say, Lord, I am going to ask you for an even greater skill set. God willing to be able to write even better, if I can use the word better. As I said, I review my work. I never read my work again. If I do something, I will start it afresh. Because I will not rehash old stuff. I don't like leftover food. I never read leftover food. just don't. But guess what? How can I rehash God's word then? I won't. So I prepare everything from scratch. No canned food for me. Has to be done from scratch. And we'll do it all the time. Well, these are challenges indeed. So those in YPG2 committee, now raise the bar a little. How do you do this? How do you lead the group now? These are expectations from you next year. All right, this is how we're going to go about it. All the time. Well, again, skills are important. Okay? And they're not easily acquired. For those of you who have been learning how to write, you begin to realize just to write one article seven times, eight times over, again and again. Are you prepared for this? Because you're learning skills. That's what it takes. Okay. The next part of it, and this is important, and this is something that every leader must learn and practice all the time, and that is how to pray. This is a very intricate part. It's a very, very difficult thing to master. If you are just saying prayers, that won't go very far one way or the other. But you engage in prayer the way Moses engaged in prayer. Just think of a conversation he had. Okay? And he says, well, who am I? How does God answer him? And then, what if they don't believe? How does God answer him? But you know, I'm not eloquent. How does God answer him? There is real prayer. There is very, very precious, intimate prayer. There is an openness to prayer here. An openness that says, I listen. An openness that says, I learn. Do you really listen? Are you really open to the Lord? Most people are not. They pray and they say, I believe. That is not the point for a spiritual leader. A leader does not pray like this. He does not simply say, Lord, I believe, it is done. It is not. A leader opens up himself to listening to God's answers. And so he learns. And the answer comes. I'll tell you how the answer comes very shortly, but the answer comes. Okay, number two. You make progress in prayer from point one to point two. Okay, let us say that I am praying about knowledge of God. And you know, Lord, I need to know knowledge of God. Lord, please help me to really know your word. Amen. Close your Bible. You just cuddled your own prayer. One moment ago, please open my understanding. Next moment, you close your Bible. what? Knowledge will come with a closed Bible? We don't understand what we're doing. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, I'm praying about relationship with God, but I'm not serving. Lord, you understand, right? I got work to do. What kind of prayers are these? They're useless prayers. Prayers are things where you, after you pray, you are going to act upon them. We call this progressive prayers. You really want to do something about it? Let's progress. Are we prepared for this? Because if you want to talk about knowledge, you want to talk about faith, and you want to talk about relating to God, and you are doing nothing at all, then the book of James will apply straight away. You show me a man who says he's got faith, well, I'll show you my faith by my action, by my works. No point talking about, yeah, I am Webasti and I should have. No. What for? This is what we're talking about when we talk about place of prayer. I'm not asking you, when I say this prayer, the Indian brethren will tell me, Pastor, I devote 1 hour, I pray. I talk, why I'm so tired after that. Of course you are. Even God is tired. What makes you think that is what prayer really is? It's not. It is an openness. There is a progressiveness about praying that we must discover. And a lot of people don't know how to move that way. Okay? Let me talk about progressiveness. There is that perseverance. You pray anyway. You're tired. Answers are not forthcoming. You pray anyway. That is the challenge. There are many things I'm asked to pray for, I'm asked to pray about. Some things take a long time. But you persevere. You pray anyway. That's what it is. Okay? What about Pharaoh? Pharaoh is not going to go away. What about the children of Israel? They won't believe. It's not going to change. The problems are going to be there still. What do we do? The leader perseveres. It is what it takes. That's what it really takes. And before you know it, I have been to India, 21 years. That's how long it has been. Burma, 15 years. You persevere, no matter what it takes. That is the leader. No matter what happens in elections tomorrow, you start planning to go again. And these are challenges indeed. Okay? We go on further and talk about what it means. Of course, later on you will learn how to intercede. Intercessory prayer is a very, very challenging thing to do. But the only prayers I ever shared, ever tears I shed, they're never for myself. They're always found in intercessory prayer. To pray for a mother who is fighting for her life. There we go. The tears will come. by themselves. Sure. To pray for children who are caught in great difficulties with problems. And the tears will come. You learn about intercessory prayers. You cannot make the tears come. But it is in intercession that you learn much about praying, real praying for people. Move on further. With every prayer answered, the leader realizes that God is revealing more and more of himself to the person who prays. So if a person merely reads the Bible, devotes his time studying, taking a marker, pencil, booklet, write down all the thoughts, and he thinks that that's the only way to increase knowledge of God, is wrong. There are many more things about God that he will by awesome works we read, God reveals himself. What are the awesome works of God that he has heard and answered for you? The leader dwells on these things and is challenged and blessed by these thoughts. And he develops a sensitivity to God. It's a beautiful sensitivity. Or you watch this. And the person prays. And he's sensitive to God's answer in prayer. He prays using God's word in prayer. He exercises faith. He believes in prayer passionately. He fasts if he needs to. I hope you understand. I'm not going to go into detail of these things because it's just so time consuming to go to every single detail. But you begin to realize that prayer, what it is not. It is not simply saying, Lord, bless me, bless us all, in Jesus' name, Amen. A child can say that and get away with it, but not a spiritual leader. Okay, think about this very carefully. Now, there's something that you need to look at very, very carefully. How does God answer our prayers? And this is where not very many people have this ability. It is something that can and must be cultivated. The mind. Okay, this is absolutely important, this whole idea of the mind. The questions that would arise, the pondering of the answers that God gives. You know why Moses, after God answers, he realized that he should not pursue that question further? Realize this? Now let's go back to Exodus 3 for a while. You see this. You see how sharp he is. Because Aaron is either very sharp, much sharper, or he's not. Look at what he asks. And first, he doesn't ask. Very good. Right? Take off your shoes. What part don't you understand? Okay, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And so, the first question, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I will certainly be with you, God's answer. No more asking, who am I? Why? Because if God says, I am with you, I will certainly be with you, asking who you are is totally immaterial after that. That is how sharp Moses was. You see that? Is it enough that God said, I will be with you? If you understand it properly, the mind, no need to ask further, who am I? Moses, it's not about you. You understand? Okay, I understand. You see how sharp he is? That is what you need to employ. The mind. Okay, number two. Question. When I come to the children of Israel, okay, that solved the problem. Okay, what if they don't believe me? They ask, what is his name? See, a different field, different arena, a different thing entirely. No. But if Moses had been able to apply the mind further, the first answer would have been good for the second question. Right? I will be with you, Moses. Same answer for the second question. But God very graciously, later on, we will know how gracious God is, long-suffering, merciful. This is already, okay, you ask second question. Actually, I can give you the same answer. I will certainly be with you. Third question, I will certainly be with you. Fourth question, I will certainly be with you. Only one answer is needed, right? Basically. But no. God graciously answers. You see, you need to be sensitive to the Lord here. And of course, Moses, what if they will not believe me? Of course, Moses has all these questions as if any of the answers would be there. Later on, even the rod serpent, also no use, because people, when the harsh realities of life come and hurt you, whatever you believe in may not stand the strain of it all. So that's not an answer either. But the sensitivity is there, which is really important, and the employment of the mind. And I want to encourage you to utilize the mind. Train the mind to be thorough in its thinking, in the study of the Lord's Word. Train the mind to be strong. Train the mind to be mature and practical. Do you use your mind? And most people don't use the mind when they pray, and they think about, now I'm going to make this decision. How should I make it? Then I say, made it. I want to know, should I make it or not? No point. You heard about the ship that was carrying several cartons of yo-yos? It hit a rock, and it took several times before it finally sank. Oh, we're not using our minds. This is jokes which some people don't even catch it. And I really want to encourage you, urge you to think, but use the mind vigorously, use the mind dynamically, use the mind candidly, use the mind to learn. If you want to talk about spiritual leadership and you say to the Lord, Lord, you know, can I be a spiritual leader? What do you think God will answer? Maybe, maybe not. Ask me another time. Okay, another time has come. Can I be a leader or not? Ask me another time. What do you think God is saying? He's already spoken. You didn't understand him. You know, when God speaks to his servants, you better use your mind. Let me show you what I mean. Turn to Jeremiah 1 with me. When God speaks, he's really amazing. You know? And you really have to be pretty sharp, you know, to understand God, you know. Sometimes I'm puzzled over what he, especially those visions of the Lord. Many people want to have vision. I prefer the plain word. Visions are very scary things to me. Because, okay, Jeremiah, what do you see? Verse 11. Word of the Lord, what do you see? And he said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then God said, you have seen well. I'm ready to perform my word. Huh? Excuse me, Lord, what branch almond tree? You've seen well. At least you know it's a what? Branch of elementary. Your biology pass. Now, next mode level. I'm ready to perform my word. How come branch of elementary equals ready to perform my word? You could lose several mental somersaults, you know, to understand what God is saying. But you don't use your mind. You can understand this? You cannot. But that is what is needed. Now, we go on further. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see? Second time. Test number two. Question number two. I see a boiling pot. It is facing away from the north. Boiling pot. Ha! I know what it means. Lunchtime. No, it has nothing to do with lunch. Ah, it's a signal how to be healthy. Take things which are boiled rather than McDonald's stuff. No, it is not. What had God said? You see, the Lord said to me, out of the north, calamity shall break forth. Huh? Boiling pot means that? Wow. You either understand this really sharply, candidly, thoroughly with the mind, or you will never understand God's vision. And a lot of people do not use their mind. They read it and wait for the heart to be blessed. I read, no blessing. My heart not lifted up. I'm still sad. In fact, I read more, the sadder I become. I read, then, you know, I read, wow, Psalm 42, 43, why are you disquieted within me? Why are you cast down? Wow, it describes me and I'm cast down. Then I read, wow, even more cast down. Use your mind. Don't do that. A spiritual leader must learn how to use the mind. Yeah. Okay? The mind. Be careful. The mind will represent your true spiritual state. The questions you raise will represent who you really are. It will represent your doubts that remain. But who? But. That's the state of your spiritual life. There are doubts. It tells you you are uncertain. They tell you that you are diffident. They tell you you are fearful. They tell you you are unskilled and inexperienced. That's what they tell you. You see? So if you really want to ask yourself which direction we are going to develop, so many things here, we always go back to one: knowledge of God. We must. We go back to all these basics. Okay? Now, it's something that we need to look at very carefully. Any questions you want to ask? Because if not, I want to move on a little bit. And then I want to look into the matter of how God's work is in your life. You know, God could be teaching you vital lessons that you may not even realize He's teaching you. Okay, Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. When God speaks, He is really... Verse 2. When I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Indeed, with my rebuke I dry up the sea, I make the rivers a wilderness. The fish sting because there is no water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their covering. If God were to say that to you, what sense would that make? Make any sense to you? It made sense to the Messiah. He understood this immediately. That's why he is the Messiah. How did he understand this? What was God saying? Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, the calling was up there. For your iniquities, you sold yourself. For your transgressions, your mother has put away. Why, when I called, was there no answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot save or cannot redeem? No power to deliver? It seems as if Israel was totally helpless, hopeless. Why call no man? Verse 4 is the answer to this question. The Messiah answered. Was there no man? Yes, there is one man. Here am I. Send me. This time it is not Isaiah with all the dramatics. It is simply, quietly, the Messiah offering himself as that man without saying it. And then the Messiah goes on to say, the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens my me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. The Lord God will help me. Verse 7. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. Jesus was that mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. Jesus would be that man. So when God says, where is there? Was there no man? And Jesus will be that man for us. And he will bring that word, not only from us to God, but from God to us. This is what he will do. Isn't it wonderful? The Lord will teach us. This is a very beautiful text. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah and see this beautiful, beautiful promise that the Lord said he will give in the context of the new covenant. It is a beautiful, beautiful word. Okay. Chapter 31 of Jeremiah. Verse 33, this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, they shall be my people. Is God writing on your mind and on your heart? If so, what is he writing? Very few people understand what God's promise is. But that is what God does to a spiritual leader. That's what he must do. He must teach. He must explain. He must impact. Until truly you have the tongue of the limit. Where is this person who has a tongue of the limit? You know why we're not there? Because God teaches morning by morning. Every day. And He seeks to put this into your mind and into your heart. He writes it. And if you will not take the trouble to learn as you should, you fail. And so, we are no better as a spiritual leader at the end of the day. This is that part of it. This is God's work. He teaches us. And when the teaching is well learned, is well understood, He equips us next level. You shall be as God. Next level. Power, authority. Then yet another level. Think about this. He will transform you. You become different. And I notice how it was in Paul's life and others. The most unlikely person to succeed as a person working with the Gentiles would be a Pharisee. A Pharisee would not even speak to another fellow Jew. Don't talk Gentile. Look at the transformation that took place. Paul would be happily eating sushi. As not. Don't do that. They must go, what kind of fish? In Singapore, there is no Jewish restaurant. Nothing succeeded. Why? Because they got stringent rules concerning what is kosher and what is not. So you always end up. One, you cannot use what utensils used by other people. It must be clean. Everything. Won't succeed. Not the way we are eating. Not the way we are going. Oh no. Well, and yet he became an apostle to the Gentiles. Even Peter, not a Pharisee, had difficulty relating to the Gentiles. And here was a Pharisee of the Pharisees becoming an apostle to the Gentiles. You see the transformation that took place. Right? To me, it's absolutely amazing. I always look for changes. Always you look for changes. And if the changes are not forthcoming, then nothing very much has been learned along the way. Okay? I think that we no need to belabor the point. It's very clear as to what this transformation work is all about. In the last few minutes, I just want to look at challenges for yourself today. I think we should look at the challenges that we want to have for ourselves today. Okay? And you want to check your relationship with God, but you must ask yourself, why and how it is that you will succeed as a leader in the context of church here. You really got to have a love for His work here. It's either we love the Lord and His work and His ministry, or we can never go the second mile. You know, it's so important. It's a question of saying, I want to be here because I choose to be here. I love the Lord, I love this church, and I want to know what my place is, and I want to be here. I think that's important. Not what God wants to do for the church and the world, but just simply here What do I want to see? You must ask yourself that question. Do I really love the Lord and His work enough to say, I want to do my part, and let me do my part with all my heart? And then be prepared to look at it very carefully and say, these are my personal challenges. And my personal challenges would be, okay, how do I understand what it means to follow the Lord? How do I understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ? How do I make my lifestyle one that will be outstanding? And unless we look at all these things here, and we are not making the appropriate challenges to ourselves, nothing will come out of it very much. Okay? Think about this. Last page. Where Paul argues for this whole idea, first and foremost, with reference to himself, apostleship. Sorry, he went to the other part of it. It should be up there rather than by itself. Think about this. For Paul, it was apostleship, but watch this very carefully. And he said, he who worked effectively in Peter also worked effectively in me. Remember our first principle. Leadership is about God working in and through His servant. Not about the servant. It's about God. That's our understanding of leadership as we understand it properly. Okay? And you can see very clearly whether it is in Peter or whether it is in Paul, people would know it is God. Because Peter could not have done this. This is not a university graduate. Well, he may have graduated from the fishery department. Right? University of Galilee. Okay? And there he was. But apart from that, you see him effective as a leader, leading a whole team of apostles. There he is. Nathaniel would talk circles around him. He was not the first person who came. It was his brother who, hey, come on. But then I get ahead of myself. You want to come for the youth conference messages. I will be developing a whole series of messages based on John 21. All about Peter. We all know about Paul. What do we know about Peter? Much to be learned from one aspect. But watch, it was God working in Peter's life. He was truly a fisher of men. He was a leader of men. Nobody expects him to be such. It was God who worked in him. But it was God who worked in him and the Gentiles. You know, if a Pharisee will understand this sentence better than we can, how can a Pharisee work with Gentiles? And yet, there he was. And I like to think about this. You know, it's, don't worry about the ambassador part, okay? Well, I'm ambassador. Don't worry about the ambassador part of it. The more important part is God pleading through us. You know, it was God speaking. Those of you involved in evangelism, that's what it is. It's God speaking through you. Pleading to be reconciled to God. And then the third challenge, finally. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God. Notice, God God, God, all the way through. We are but earthen vessels, but we have a treasure, and we have the promise of the excellence of the power of God. And that is the challenge of it all. So when we live our lives, what are we doing? We are allowing the life of Jesus to be manifested in us. This is spiritual leadership. And if we see the life of the Lord in us, or in a true life of a leader, it's not hard to follow that leader, any leader. I hope you understand this. And so as we look at it, as we wrap it up, we begin to realize, so this is spiritual leadership in a nutshell. Remember, this is only pre-ministry thinking. Actual ministry itself, you watch the upheavals that Moses had to go through. That spiritual leadership part two. Not the same. Okay? And even then, it's only confined to Egypt. He had a different ministry again. Changed scenario. Spiritual leadership part three. You see, it's never just a simple, straightforward approach. It's deeper than you imagine. But we must establish those things very correctly. It is all about God first. But in order to understand and appropriate our understanding of God, you need lots of things to try and grapple with the concept. That makes sense to you? So this is a God concept of God here. Huge. You need the mind, knowledge. You need heart, response. You need faith. You need life. You need service. You need ministry to engage God. See, that's a problem. We don't. We have one little thing. And we try to understand God along that particular line. And I can tell you this, it's not going to work. It doesn't work because you need to engage the person wholly, completely, or we misunderstand it totally. It's never one level alone. It is engaging God in every sense of the word. Every part of the whole being engages. This is why where we are not able to offer that engagement with one person. We need a team of people. That's what I mean. So that each one of us will contribute one area or other. If you have a mind, would you let God use that mind? If you've got certain special talents, would you let God use those talents? But the whole person must be engaged. Otherwise, we will never fully understand what spiritual leadership is all about. There is no laid-back approach. It's either we understand it and truly understand, but not. Are you in Egypt? Then you cannot be thinking of the boys in Midian. It must be here. That's how it is. That's what it means to serve the Lord. And His learning. Sharp, sharp learning curve. What do I do next? What do I do next? You have to learn how to cope with pressure. You learn how to learn how to pray. You learn how to use the power of God. You learn how to listen to Pharaoh and see through his ploys. You learn how to establish yourself. These are lessons in actual ministry. This is pre-ministry. not to say. I hope you understand what we're trying to get at. I had to learn this. These were the things I struggled and grappled with nearly 40 years ago. I grappled with these things again and again, many times over. And then put this into practice, into ministry, actual, in Bethany. I'm thankful for these thoughts which came to me. Remember, my first model was Moses. There's spiritual leadership 4, 5, study Paul. A lot more challenging than you realize. But you know what? The same pattern. It was knowledge. It was discovery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now more focus. Not a God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was the same. That grasping of the knowledge of God. It's just absolutely astonishing. That's why Peter had to say many hard things. The unlearned wrest the knowledge to their own destruction. Knowledge. But again, what? Faith, life, gifts, power, authority, ministry. Same principles, pre and during. So I want to encourage you to think about this and how we can deal with this. All right, any questions you want to ask? Otherwise, we have completed what we wanted to study. This pre-ministry study of theology of spiritual leadership. I thank you all for putting in the effort to come and think this through. But remember, this is just thinking through. Have we mastered everything yet? I wouldn't hold my breath. Now it's done. Any questions you want to ask before we conclude? Anybody? You want to ask anything at all? Does that answer your question, Vince? You were asking earlier about which areas specifically?
I'm taking a safe approach to the answer. And I'm thinking that answer is number 3. Number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7.
All right, good. I appreciate that, yes. All right, anybody else want to raise up anything? Okay, if not, we pray. Then I'll hand you back to your committee. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank you for the challenge of really assessing ourselves, where we are with you, our relationship, our faith, our understanding. And we ask you to help us to be challenged, to be changed. Lord, give us a heart of love for you, for your word, for your work, for your people. And to establish truly our relationship with you by way, by reference to actual work and ministry for you. So we pray that you will teach us how to respond appropriately as we ponder all these things through. I pray that you would truly enlighten us further. Give to us a spirit of revelation, wisdom, with the knowledge of what we have gleaned this last few days. We just want to thank you for those who work in the organizing of this retreat, those who gave towards, all who are here. Pray for your blessings, giving thanks for what we have discovered, what we have learned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor. From the committee, we hope that it has been a very fruitful and meaningful time of learning and fellowship with each other. And really, we want to thank each of you for being a very cooperative, attentive, interactive group. And I would say it has been our joy, our delight to serve you here at the retreat. And we really want to encourage you to continue to give us your feedbacks that we can improve further for each retreat. I think truly we have learned much these couple of days about fundamental principles of spiritual leadership. But I think even as we consider the intricacies of each principles, let us continue to be challenged to ponder over these truths, let's seek to practice them, and let's really seek to ground ourselves in these principles that we will be poised for challenges to come. Now, we also want to take time to express our appreciation for someone who has truly exemplified the different features of spiritual leadership in his life and in his ministry. So we want to take time to thank Pastor for not just spending time to teach us from the Lord's Word, but taking time to share with us from his life about these important lessons, what it means to be a spiritual leader. And right now, to express our appreciation, we took cue from yesterday's session, and I would like to invite Pastor Mark to present to Pastor Organic. Yes, let me repeat again, Organic White Tea, for your enjoyment, Pastor. But we have beat all of you to it, so you can forget about buying white tea. Okay, thank you, Pastor. If not, before we break for lunch, just one last announcement. We